Okay, so today we are going to start a new topic, and we should finish it today as well. And it's gonna a lot of it is going to be a little bit of a chazara and remind us of some of the things we learned in Shaar Bitachon, because we're going to talk today about umnas, about having a trade, about having an occupation. So the learning today should be Yoschos Chaim Elazar ben Shimshon Aryeh and Reb Yaakov Yosef Chaim Menachem ben Tzion. Should be Yoschos for Shleim of Chaim Moshe Shua v'Malka Chaim Doi b'Minei Rachel and Chanalei Abbas Shein Do Rachel, as well as a Yoschos for all those in a Makom Sakana in Eretz Yisrael, including Ezriel Baruch ben Penina and Daniel Shlomo ben Rastekah, who are both currently serving. So we're on page 164 in the Pele Yoyitz. Starts Amar Rav Aseinu Zechronim Levracha Shechayev Adam Lelamed Espanoi Umnes. The Gemara in Kedushin tells us a person has a chiyuv to do five things, and one of the five things is that he has to teach his son a trade. And the trade, the occupation, the job that he teaches him should be one that's clean and one that's easy. We'll actually define both of these terms, clean and easy, in a minute. He says, "Vehein emes," and the truth is, "Shiroi l'chol adam lispois atzas Reb Noray." Really, every person should consider the eitzah that Reb Noray gave in the Gemara. Sha'amar, he said, "Maniach ani kol umnayos shavaylam." I put aside every other occupation in the world, and I gave him the Torah Sayyim Nasai. I taught him Torah, and I told him that that is the job to have. He says he'll get to it. However, if your son is not going to be able to sit and learn, and he's not going to be able to take that lifestyle, whether he doesn't have the zitzfleisch to sit all day, or he's not going to be able to support, he's not going to be able to live the lifestyle of someone in chinuch. He needs, you know, more money. So then, if you're going to teach him a job, even if you are extremely wealthy and you have investments and you have money you could give your son to go invest, teach them to have a job, a skill that they can have. So here he's talking about now, let's say you have merchandise. So you're a wealthy guy and you have, let's say you have a bunch of money that he can invest in the stock market. Or I would even say invest in real estate, okay? So you're basically gonna give him all these assets and say, here, you are now, you know, in charge of these assets. And based on the investment earnings, you're gonna make money. He says, still teach them an actual occupation. Because you don't know what each day is going to bring. And he continues, he says, Ki hazuzim zavim, zazim, money moves. In other words, that the one day a person has money and then the next day interest rates go up or the market tanks or there's a housing crisis and all of a sudden all of the investments that you had yesterday are suddenly worth a lot less. And a person who is wealthy can become poor. We see many, many wealthy people who, unfortunately, especially now in 2024, with interest rates, you see a lot of people that their assets have taken a dive. And he's talking now about extreme a case where you have someone who was very wealthy and now is on the bread line. He's requesting tzedakah. Avalim, so why does it help to teach him an occupation? Because avalim yimatze biyadam umnis yifnu el umanusam yispanisu b'chavay. Because if he has an umnis, and now he's not on the charity line. Now he's going to go and use whatever occupation he learned. So let's use a basic example. Say someone has an accounting background, so they can go and work in investments and manage investments. And then if the market or if the investment is tanking, you can fall back on your accounting experience and you can go into that. Or if a person has a law degree and then he wants to go and manage real estate, if the real estate market tanks, he can go back and practice law. So you have a real occupation, a daily occupation that you can use to support yourself when the investments and when the merchandise has significantly decreased. He says, "Avalim yimatze biyadam umnis." I'm sorry, but oid mitzad acher. He says another reason is that mitzad acher yafeh umnis yosem en aschayra. This is another reason why having an actual job, an actual occupation, and actual business experience is better than just using investments. She'af im ein hashiras min umnis kamay min aschayra. Even though you don't usually get extremely wealthy from trade like you do through investments. Okay, so if you're not going to have a portfolio and you're going to, again, going back to my accounting example, an accountant is not making $2 million. Accountant can make $2 million if he sells his business, but that's now your investment world. But if you stop servicing clients, you're not going to make $2 million. You're not going to make $3 million. How can you make that? You develop a portfolio of nursing homes. You develop a portfolio of real estate. You start the day trading in the stock market. So those are there's a bigger boom. But conversely, there's a bigger bust. It says, you're not going to have the daigus. You're not going to have the same worries that someone who is doing a basic trade is going to have, because there's not that much at stake on a day-to-day basis. You know, when you are trading in the markets, so anytime when you take a very large position on a company, so now you are going to ride it out with that company and you're going to be schwitzing. Similarly, if you have a bunch of real estate, assets, so every time the Fed is going to discuss the interest rates, you are going to be tittering and you're going to lose years off your life because of that. Conversely, accountants, how drastic, or a plumber or an electrician, any of these, right? So you have one job that goes bad. Okay, you have 150 other customers that you can turn to. So it's not, so to speak, as of course it's all min HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the day-to-day daiga, the day-to-day exhaustion, and the day-to-day aggravation is not the same. The stakes are not as high in a regular business like they are in investments. Most of the time, you're not going to have to travel to cross oceans and rivers to get your customers. He says he's going to be he's he won't be required basically to go after palitzas. So palitzas is a term from Bulgaria, which talks about a type of deal that they would have where they would borrow money against merchandise, and then if they failed to pay the loan, they would forfeit the entire merchandise. So he says the type of daiga you have where you take such a loan, and if you're not able to convert the merchandise into money to pay off that loan, now all of a sudden you're going to be under tremendous pressure. Says, and also, if you're going to have a regular job, so then it's not going to affect you. You're not going to be exposed, rather, to the heat and the sun. Because what he's talking about is he's talking about someone who has merchandise who has to travel to faraway places to sell that merchandise, right? So the Gemara talks about this when we were learning Bava Metzia. We're talking about you take the merchandise from your city and you sell it somewhere else for a profit. That requires a lot of travel. That requires exposing yourself to the elements. Whereas if you're a day laborer in your current town, so now you're either used to, if you work outdoors, you're a UPS man, you're used to it, or you're definitely avoiding the exhaustion of travel. You do it from the comfort of your home. Now he's talking about even taking an occupation like being a tailor, where you can work out of your home, or you be an office. Someone who works out of an office. He says, in a similar vein, I'll point out that even if someone chooses to deal with investments, you can find a way to choose a path that's less bad. Basically, he's telling you, stay away from the guy who's promising you the 20% return on a real estate deal. He says, don't try to hit it big. You think you're going to be the next Jeff Bezos? You're going to turn your small business into a huge multi-billion dollar corporation, and you're suddenly going to become the next millionaire and the next success story on the real deal. That's not the way that you should go. Don't swing for the fences. It says, or you put in all this effort through credit and loans and traveling constantly across the ocean, across overseas, Elias Topic Bemuyat. Be okay with a lower return. Yes, it's not going to be as glamorous, but you know what? You're going to avoid all of the pitfalls that come with that. The biggest one, obviously, being something like a Ponzi scheme, where if you're going to say, listen, it's normal derech hateva, normal return on real estate is, let's say, 7%, 8%, 9%. And I'm sticking to deals that are 9%. And when a guy comes to me with a 17% deal, I'm going to just walk away based on the fact that the thing he's quoting me is outrageous. Now he could have a great business plan. He's buying in this neighborhood and he's going to develop the neighborhood. He's going to flip it, and all of a sudden it's a totally different clientele that's going to be investing, and the rents are going to go up. Right? He could have a great plan, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of Agmas Nefesh that comes in, a lot of risk. So you be involved yourself with lesser, with a little bit less, be a little bit simpler. But things that are more likely to succeed and much further away, very unlikely to fail. Don't swing for the fences. It says better a dry piece of bread with peace. Right? This is the idea of you can take a business deal, or you can go into a occupation that's going to cause you to tear your hair out. Or you could earn a lot less and go into an occupation that's a respectable occupation, and you're going to earn a living, but you're going to have peace. And yes, you're not going to be as affluent and wealthy as the other guy. A play on the term, on the letters, based tamaklamet. Eat an onion and sit in the shade. In other words, buy things that you can afford. You're not going to be the wealthiest guy in town, but you'll be peaceful. And the pressures of the times, as well as the weariness from travel, nefesh, and he says the anxiety that's going to come kafa from extending merchandise on credit, when you're going to have your money tied up in a fixed in a, not a fixed asset, an inventory, a merchandise. So then you have no idea if you're actually going to ever make money off of it. He says they destroy a person from inside out. He's going to very likely live a life of tzar. He won't be able to properly serve Hashem. He'll get it done, but it's going to be done much more deficient. For example, you're going to be traveling. You'll be tired to have it. It can be tough for you to daven, put on tefillin, daven with minyan. Remember to wash and bench. You're going to come up with all sorts of issues that, yeah, maybe you'll get by in terms of your avodas Hashem, but it's certainly going to be lacking. Lachin therefore yivchalay choose for himself a business or a trade or even an investment if you're going in that direction that's simpler and easy. And he should dive into the one who all of wealth and all possessions belong. Nothing holds back Hashem from delivering for many or a few of Hashem layim. Right? So at the end of the day, the bottom line is, and this ties into what we talked about in Shaar Bitachon, which is you teach your son a trade, right? So we talked in Shaar Bitachon that you take your son to the market and you look which business does he have in Atiyah, right? You don't want him to be a shoemaker, but he loves shoes. He likes to work with his hands, or he wants to be a tailor. And you want him to be a lawyer because you think, or a doctor because you believe that he's going to make a lot more money. It's a chesaron on your part. He could be a shoemaker. He could be a tailor and make as much money as Hashem decreed that he will make by being a doctor. It's not as glamorous. It's not, maybe it's shoemakers are less successful than doctors. I don't know if that's true, but let's just say that's true for a minute. But that doesn't mean in your son's case that he's going to make less money, because there are plenty of doctors that don't do as well. So and what does he mean by So first he talked about kala, easy. Easy means easier on you, easier, less tirda, and less aggravation. What does it mean, nikia, clean? So he says, nikia should be clean from geneva. Says, because of our many averas, we find that people treat geneva as being mutter in the eyes of certain businesses. He talks about certain tailors specifically. It sounds like in his time, when the people would bring, so it's not like today where you go to the suit store, you go to Emporio and you buy a suit. In those days, you would bring the raw materials and you would tell the tailor, I want you to make me a suit. And he would measure you with the material and he would make a suit. Now, that material does not belong to the tailor. Let's say there's extra material. So in his times, the tailor would now go and use your material on Yenam's suit. So that's Geneva. Or he's talking about he would switch out your material for lesser quality material. He says also in merchants who buy and sell, also constantly bait and switch. It's only that they characterize by other names. I talked about this a few weeks ago, and we talked about Sheker, the idea that people say that this is what you need to be successful. And it's not Geneva. It's called being a smart businessman. They changed the name. You want to be a smart businessman? Then you gotta do bait and switch. You gotta show people one thing and then swap it out, or you gotta take advantage of people, or you gotta screw someone here and there on a bill, that type of thing. And Vehilai Sitzlach, but he says at the end of the day, like we talked about, you're not gonna be successful. Like he's gonna discuss later on by Gezela. And someone, here's the bottom line, someone who follows the right path, will find life and wealth, and will not come to any loss from engaging a business honestly. In other words, if everyone else in your industry does a bait and switch, it's just the norm, and you are the only one that's not doing it, and you say to yourself, if I don't do it as well, I'm going to lose because everyone else is making money that way, and I need to do it as well. There's a guarantee that he's mentioning here, but the Torah really guarantees that that's not true. That you can be successful as well by not doing the gzeila. And maybe they are also successful, but they're choosing to do it that way. That was we had this in the Beis HaLevi when Rabbi who wrote the Perush on the Beis HaLevi? What's his name? Rabbi Sutton, right? So Rabbi Sutton was talking about when he did the report on Lucky Luciano, right? The gangster. So the guy every day. He made a lot of money, but he said he wishes that he would have at the end of his life. He said, "I wish I would have done an honest business. I would have made the same money because remember, there's a lot of loss. There's a lot of you lose a lot because you know when you, in his times in Prohibition, every time the feds or the police got a hold of a transport of booze, so now they confiscate that and that's all loss. So you have a lot of spoilage. You have a lot of loss." So at the end of the day, he says, I made about as much money if I would have gone into an honest business. And that's the idea. You can choose to do it honestly. You can choose to do it dishonestly. It doesn't mean that you're going to do better if you're dishonest. And it doesn't mean you're going to do worse if you are honest. At the end of the day, this comes down to bitachon, that I'm going to do mine and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to do yours. And I have a full belief that I'm going to still get exactly what I'm supposed to get, even if I'm going about it and even if I'm not going about it the way that everyone else is.